Glad to see everyone back here with us this evening. Just a couple of announcements before we get into our lesson. There are several cards on our cardboard from Benny and Charlene Rogers, so please check the cardboard before you leave tonight, and if there's a card back there for you, please get that down. As well, we want to remember Brother Lloyd Mims. He went into the hospital at the end of this past week with some intestinal problems. We need to keep him in our prayers. There's a possibility they're trying to get matters resolved without him having surgery, but there's still that possibility that they may have to do surgery to give him some relief. Also want to remember our parents and our children about our youth devo immediately following our services. So let's keep that in mind as well. We'll be taking your Bible and turning to the book of Acts. Book of Acts and chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, we read about a man by the name of Saul. Now, we have been introduced to Saul at the beginning of Acts chapter 8, the end of Acts chapter 7. We read here beginning in verse 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he hath a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. We read here of Paul, or Saul at this time, on the Damascus Road. He was going there to take members of the Lord's church as prisoner, to take them back to Jerusalem to stand trial. Very well could have led to their deaths. As we read at the end of chapter 7, the beginning of chapter 8, that Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen. We start looking at things, and it may very well have been, seeing what type of man that Saul is here in Acts chapter 9, Saul may very well have instigated the stoning there of Stephen. Simply speculation. But Saul could seem to have had a very big part of that. As the Bible says, he was consenting unto his death. But we find Paul here on this Damascus road noticing that he needs to change. There need to be changes made in his life. And that's what the Damascus road is. The Damascus road, the way of chains. And friends, some of us may need to travel the Damascus Road tonight, in a manner of speaking. Like Saul, I need to travel the Damascus Road when I have religion without a proper relationship with God. Notice what Paul says here. And at the beginning here, when he has seen this light, verse 5, and he said, first words out of his mouth, Who art thou, Lord? Who are you? I don't know you. What is this about? Jesus reveals himself, tells Saul who he is. But what we see here is a very religious man. You remember the pedigree that Saul gives of being a Hebrew of the Hebrews? Also a Roman citizen on top of that. Here was a man that had really all that he could want. He had been educated at the feet of Gamaliel. He was an important man. He was a man that was well respected by the Sanhedrin. He had quite a bit of power. And he says, a very firm believer in God, but yet he says to Jesus, who are you? We see Saul having religion, but he doesn't have the proper relationship to God. He needs to find out how to get that relationship. And so Jesus tells him to go into the city and it will be told him what he must do. Paul himself writes of having a proper relationship. Let's keep a hand or finger here in Acts chapter 9 and turn with me over to Romans chapter 10. Notice with me verses 1 through 3. Saul had a great desire for all to obey the gospel, but he points out his desire that the Jews be obedient to the Lord. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You remember Israel, when Jesus was upon this earth, felt that they had or already had a right to salvation simply because they were the children of Abraham. You remember Jesus' response to that? He basically told them, look at these stones. God could raise him up, children of Abraham, from these very stones. In other words, just because you're children of Abraham, just because you wear the name of Israel, doesn't mean that you're saved. Doesn't mean that you're in a right relationship with God. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 15, 8 and 9, Jesus, speaking to the Jews, speaking to Israel there, tells them that with their mouth and their words they draw nigh unto God, but in their heart what? They're far from me. Again, we see religion without the proper relationship with God. And friends, when we find ourselves in that situation, we need to travel that Damascus Road, that way of change. I need to have that right relationship. And friends, that right relationship is found in God's Word. How do we establish that? We obey Him. We look to His Word. Number two, I need to travel the Damascus Road when I have an attitude in need of adjustment. When I have an attitude in need of adjustment, I need to travel that Damascus Road. Notice with me Acts chapter 26 and verse 9. Paul here is reflecting upon that Damascus Road. Notice what he says of himself here. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. We see his attitude. He wants to do anything and everything within his power to destroy the Lord's church, to destroy those that would call themselves Christians. And he doesn't care what it takes. The destruction of innocent lives, it doesn't matter. He wants the name of Jesus to be stamped out forever. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13, Paul describes himself there, and let's notice what he says. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13. He describes himself concerning the man that he used to be. And he says there in verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. In description of the former man, Paul was a man that was indeed had an attitude in need of adjustment. New King James Version there says that he was an insolent man. Friends, it may be that we need an attitude adjustment. That we need to reflect upon how we think about things. Our feelings concerning things. It may be that we indeed need an attitude adjustment. Paul needed one. He admitted as much. He told Timothy as much. Who was before a persecutor? Who was before injurious? Who was before a blasphemer? Let's learn about that Damascus Road. Let's learn how to change our attitudes. Paul learned it how? Through the Word of God. Coming to the knowledge of the truth by digging into His Word. Then number three, I need to travel the Damascus Road when I have the need to have my eyes opened. There in Acts chapter 9, we find Paul that after the light has shone upon him and the light goes away, when he opens his eyes, he can see nothing. He's been blinded. He goes and he's led into Damascus. He prays and he fasts for 3 days. And as Ananias comes in and he touches Saul, the Bible says it was as if scales fell from his eyes. He could see once more. Paul had a need to have his eyes open. Well, in what way? Saul finally saw himself as a sinner. He finally saw that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. Up until this time, he didn't act like and didn't realize that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. He said as much in Acts 26 and verse 9. Notice with me Galatians 1 and verse 16. Galatians 1 and verse 16 says, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. God revealed Jesus to Paul. This word reveal here comes from the Greek word apokalupto. It means to take off the cover. Saul knew before this road who Jesus claimed to be. He knew before he traveled the road of Damascus, he knew all about Christ, about the things that he had done. He knew all about those things, and yet he did not believe. He did not, as yet, see Jesus as the Son of God. But when God revealed Christ unto him, when he took away the cover, Saul realized who he was dealing with. Saul recognized Jesus as the Son of God. He saw himself as a sinner in need of salvation. He needed his eyes opened in that way. You see, it had never occurred to Paul that he needed to be saved. It never occurred to him that he just might be lost. Notice Acts 23 and verse 1. In Acts 23 and verse 1, Luke records there of Paul, and Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Even as he's upon the road to Damascus, even as he's standing there, holding the garments of those that stoned Stephen, he didn't have a guilty bone in his body. He felt not one ounce of guilt. He felt not one ounce of remorse. He thought within himself that he was doing God's work. It had never occurred to him that he just might be lost. And so he says there, I have lived in all good conscience until this day. Friends, there are many, 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 many people that are living even right now in all good conscience and know no better. Who's going to take the word to them? Whose responsibility is that? Paul speaks of those that were ignorant of God's new law in Romans chapter 2, describing the Jews, ye who boast in the law. There were Judaizing teachers that were coming and trying to teach Christians, those that would do what was right in the eyes of God. They were going to teach these people that in order to be a true Christian, you still had to observe the law of Moses. In Luke 18:9-14, we read there of the self-righteous Pharisee. Here we find people, men, that need to have their eyes opened, need to see themselves as sinners in need of salvation. Friend, do you see yourself that way tonight? Do you realize where you stand with God? Did you need salvation? Paul also saw that you cannot separate Christ from His church. Remember in Acts chapter 9, we read in verse 4, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Here Jesus speaking to him says, you're persecuting me. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9 and Galatians 1 and verse 13, Paul says there that he persecuted the church. There in Acts 9 and verse 1, it says that Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And yet Jesus says, why do you persecute me? And so Saul realizes that in persecuting his disciples, in persecuting his church, who's he persecuting? Jesus Christ. So friends, we may be able to handle persecution a little bit easier when we think of it in that light. That when we try to talk to someone about Christ, when we try to talk to someone about His Word, and they just flat out say no, maybe even as we have had done on campaigns before, have guns pointed in your face and told to get off their property. Maybe when we realize that we're not the ones being turned down, we're not the ones being rejected, we're not the ones being persecuted, but Christ. You cannot separate Christ from His church. He is the head of it. Notice again Acts 9 and verse 5. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In other words, really Paul is fighting an uphill battle. Because we read even back in Acts chapter 8 that as the Christians were being persecuted in Jerusalem and they began to scatter, what did they do? They went everywhere preaching the Word. And so as they were beginning to be persecuted, as they began to spread, guess what the church began to do? Began to grow. Began to spread. We go further along and we see the Roman kingdom, the Roman Empire beginning to persecute the church. And no matter what they did, no matter how hard they tried, even taking the Scriptures and burning them, the church continued to grow, continued to spread. It seemed like the harder that they fought against it, the faster and the stronger, the faster that it grew, and the stronger it got. Saul finally recognized that you cannot separate Christ from His church. Saul saw that he saw the need to make a religious change. We see there in Acts 9, 19 through 22 that he quit persecuting. And after he was baptized, verse 20 says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Notice as well verses 21 and 22. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them, which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. He recognized that a change needed to be made religiously. We saw before that he had religion, but he didn't have the proper relationship with God. He didn't have the proper religion. He knew that he needed to make that change. Galatians 1 and verse 23. We see there that Paul preached the faith that he once destroyed. He had worked so hard to destroy the gospel. He had worked so hard to destroy the Lord's church. But he changed that. He began to preach that faith. He began to convert sinners. And finally, friends, he saw that he had to do something to be saved. Remember, after he asked that question, Lord, what wilt thou have? Who are you? He then goes and says, what will you have me to do? What must I do? What's the response? Jesus didn't tell him that he was saved there. That he had to do nothing further. That now that I have revealed myself unto you, you don't have to worry about anything else. What did he say? Go thou into the city, and there it will be told thee what thou must do. He goes, he fasts, he prays. But what was he told to do when Ananias came in? Did Ananias come in and tell Paul, all you got to do is say the sinner's prayer? You just have to pray through, everything's going to be fine. Just pray through, say the sinner's prayer. That's not what Ananias said. Why? That wasn't God's plan. Was Paul told to accept Jesus as his personal Savior? Was that all that he had to do? Well, it was to confess Christ, to believe in Him and accept Him as his personal Savior? He knew by that time, didn't he? Why Jesus came to this earth, that He died upon the cross, that He shed His blood for the remission of sins? He knew by that time. He had heard all about Christ. He knew the name of Jesus. That's not what he was told to do, was it? Was he told to do nothing since we're saved by grace and not by works? Wasn't told that either. So what was Paul told? Notice verse 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith. And notice this. And arose and was baptized. In Acts 22 and verse 16, we actually see the words that Ananias spoke to him there. He came in, he talked to Saul, and he said, now why tarriest thou? Why do you wait? Why are you still sitting there, Saul? What are you waiting on? He says, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The Damascus Road, the way of change. It's Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. Be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, do you find yourself here this evening needing to travel that Damascus road? Have you found yourself having religion but not the proper relationship with God? Have you found that maybe you have an attitude that's in need of adjustment? Or maybe you have the need to have your eyes opened. If that's the case, my friend, why not travel the Damascus road this evening? Let's make some changes. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, why not? Why not this evening? What's hindering you? In the words of Ananias, why tarriest thou? What are you waiting on? We're told everything that we must do in His holy word. We don't have to wait on some still small voice to tell me what I must do. We don't have to wait for a friend to do it. We don't have to wait because God's told us exactly what His plan is. He's revealed it for us in His Word. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Are you willing to repent of your sin? Are you willing to confess His name before men and be baptized, as was Paul, for the remission of your sin? Would you do that this evening? Are you here this evening having done those things? But maybe once more, you don't have that proper relationship with God. Or maybe in need of an attitude adjustment, or maybe you need to have your eyes reopened. Would you travel that road tonight? That road that leads home? Friends, if you have a need, if you need to obey the gospel, if you need to repent of sin, or you just need the prayers of the church, friends, would you come now while we stand and while we sing?